Only the Holy Spirit can guide you into all truth. That truth that'll truly set you free. You'll know the truth. Of course, we'll cover that verse later. And a lot of people love to quote that verse. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But you see, that's not the whole statement. That's just the last half of the statement. The statement is, if you abide in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So, God is true. Okay? We serve the true and the living God. So often when I'm talking with pastors, I have to remind them, we serve the true and the living God. They get so used to the religion of Christianity that they forget that we serve a living God. We serve the true and the living God. Okay? Some of the old statements then we'll rehearse so everybody will get it. But truth is one. Okay? You can't have two truths. You can only have truth. Anything else, even though it may be very close to truth, it's not truth. Okay? And of course, you have this word frustration. And frustration is when you have truth and then something crosses the truth. In Jesus' day, of course, the religious people of Jesus' day, they knew that they knew the truth. And here came Jesus. And it's like, no, this is all wrong. But the fact is, Jesus was right. And that's the reason why, of course, he made the statement, I am the truth. I'm not just telling you the truth, but I am the truth. Some time back, our youth pastor had come over and I was teaching him. We were talking about this. And, of course, the question is, how do you know what's true? We could go around the room, see, just pick a subject. And you could say, well, I know. See, and we could all say we know. And anyway, while we were talking about it, I remembered that I had my 4-foot level in the closet behind me, so I just reached over and pulled the door open. And I pulled my level out, stood it straight up at an angle, and I said, this is straight up. This is true. He said, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. Look at the bubble. The bubble is in the middle. And if the bubble's in the middle, then it's level. And look at it this way. This is level. And he said, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. Look at the bubble. So then I asked him the question, then how do you know what is true? He said, well, I don't know. And of course, you know. How would you check it? Mm-hmm. Get a plumb bob. Yeah. The law of gravity will tell you what's true. It'll tell you that that level was lying. The reason why I had it in the house is I dropped it, and it had thrown it was adjustable. Oh. And so the only way you can adjust it is to have a plumb bob and then line it up with the plumb bob and then reset and do the screws and reset it until your bubbles are in the middle, and the bubbles are in the middle. And then it's level again. Or you can use one level, if you know it's true, to check another level. Okay? So only God is true. And all of us are deceived. Isn't that shocking? The good part is, I know I'm deceived. Because I don't know all of the truth. Mm-hmm. See, but I think I know the truth. That's deception. It's when you think you know and you don't know. That's the reason why I live in the Word. That's the reason why I pray in tongues. That's the reason why I seek the Lord. Because every day He's bringing me into truth. And that truth is what is liberating me. See? is resetting the bubble. People can't tell us, but God can tell us. So God is constantly revealing himself, and he is true. So even reading the scriptures, I don't assume that I know the truth about a scripture. You have your Bible there. Look in Luke 24 and look at verse 25.
Okay. And then Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken."
Okay. And then verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he exposed to them in all scriptures the same things concerning himself." So it was verse 27, actually. When I looked at that, I thought, now here's people who had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He had taught them. I mean, this is God talking to people. And then, after all that time, and after the death, the burial, and resurrection, he opens their minds, and they understand the scriptures. It's like, well, like Jesus on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples. He walked along with them, explaining scriptures to them. But they didn't know who he was until he broke bread. And all of a sudden they knew him. See, what's that tell me? I know. You ask me anything about the Bible, I can tell you. What I tell you today and what I tell you tomorrow might be slightly different. And what I tell you the day after that. And I wished I had a whole bunch of my cassette tapes back. But we're living in daily revelation.
Yeah.
Remember now, the Old Testament was God testifying of himself. In other words, he was telling the people back then who he was. We don't know anything about God except what he tells us about himself. We don't have any God detectors or anything, and we can't check to see whether he's true or not. See? So we have to rely on God to expose himself to us. Okay? So one of the definitions of the Greek word that we translate here, true, is real. Okay? So if it's real, it's true. And if it's true, it's real. How do we know what's real? I think I know what's real until I get closer to Jesus, or I receive more of the Holy Spirit, or God opens the scriptures to me, and all of a sudden I see real. Well, at least what I think is real.
Today.
Until I get closer to Jesus, and I'm in the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit opens my understanding. See? I'm sure the disciples probably felt pretty good. I mean, after all they'd been through and all that he'd taught. And then for him to just open the scriptures to them after all that time, that would be something, wouldn't it? And so we're coming into truth. Now the one thing we know, God is true. We know that Jesus is true. He said, "I am the truth." But we don't come into truth all at one time. One of Jesus' favorite statements was, "Truly, truly," or "Verily, verily," if you're in King James, I think. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," or "Truly, truly, I say to you." So truth then is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. So if you could draw, we said truth is one, so if you could draw a line starting in eternity through eternity, and in here is human history, and throughout human history there is this truth, and we pick up on segments of that truth, but it's still one line. It's not five lines, it's one line, and that line is truth. And that truth is God. That reality is God. Okay, another definition is just. So, for instance, then I had to adjust my level. See, once I got the plumb bob out, then I brought it to justice, or I brought it to truth. But when you find truth, you have found power. The power of God is in truth. Okay? So let's look at some of these scriptures. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. True and eternal tied together. So we have, now we have eternal truth. Who is God? So he said who? He didn't talk about what or it, but who? See, so truth is a person. So much of Christianity today is multiple choice. You know, what do you think? Well, what do you think? You know, well, what is your opinion? I love for people to ask me my opinion, because it gives me a chance to tell them I don't have an opinion, and I don't have a right to an opinion, because only God is true. Why should they listen to my opinion when they can seek God and find truth? I'll throw them off unless I can deliver to them revelation. Yeah. See, and when I deliver to them revelation, then that is true. And if they will follow the revelation, then they have the assistance they need. They come into this understanding. Okay, John 7:28. Then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, "You both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know." So he was telling the religious people of the day, you don't know truth. You think you know truth, but you don't know truth. But I know truth because of where I came from. I came out of this reality. Now I am the reality on the earth. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And I hear a lot of people saying, "Well, you're really narrow-minded if you believe that." And I say God's very narrow-minded, because he happens to believe that truth. I tell, it don't matter what you believe unless you believe what God believes. You can't just come up with a belief and hope that God will go along with it. I have to believe what he believes, or it doesn't work. If I want to walk in power, I have to believe what he believes about himself, what he tells me about himself. I know I've shared this with you before. I was in a park, a Volcker Park in Kansas City, there by the Nelson Art Gallery, and was witnessing to people, and had this one guy that he loved to go around just to make an argument. I had a bunch of kids out there, a bunch of teenagers witnessing, and they were doing a great job leading people to the Lord. And this guy wanted to break it all up by arguing with them. And so I went over, let him start his argument with me, and I just walked away with him following me, which got him away from my workers. And so I had him out in open space, and this Chinaman came walking across there, had the little goatee and the mustache, and the guy looked over, and he got excited, and he said, come here, he said, I need for you to tell this guy that Buddha is God. And the guy had his hands behind his back, and he pulled out the biggest old Bible you've ever seen, and he said, no, it say right here, and he opened it, say right here, Jesus say, I am way, I am truth, and I am life, and no man come to Father but by me. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now this is where it gets tricky, because I don't want to assume that I know the truth, because assumed truth won't set me free. Only truth itself or himself will set me free. And so when I approach him, then I approach him with humility. You teach me truth. Holy Spirit, guide me into all truth. Because there's factors that draw us off. You all probably at one time or another have used a compass. And so you know which way is north. Well, at least you think you know which way is north.
Yeah.
But there's a problem that what was north a year ago is 40 miles off at the North Pole. Every year it moves this direction 40 miles. Mm-hmm. And so what you get on a GPS is north, and what you get on a compass is north. One of them's lying. And it's, of course, for your commercial pilots, because now everything's GPS, they don't have a problem. But for pilots that are using old maps for airports, they have to get the update as the compass reading, or they will miss the runway. Because north isn't north anymore.
40 miles a year?
It moves 40 miles a year.
Yeah, it's supposed to end up in Russia.
Yeah.
In the next couple of years, I think.
Yeah.
So North Pole itself?
Yeah, it's moving.
No, well, the magnetic north.
Oh, the magnetic north.
Yeah.
The magnetic north is moving.
Oh, mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
True north is still true north.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But the magnetic north is off.
Okay.
GPS is right, mm-hmm. But if you use a magnetic compass, it's not going to be right. It's lying more all the time. Mm-hmm. Every year it lies more. So someone looking at a compass, now we couldn't say you are a liar. Liars don't go to heaven. Okay? So for me to say, Phil, you're a liar because you didn't tell me the truth, you would only be a liar if you knew the truth and told me something different. Now, are we telling lies? Yes. Only because we don't know the truth. It's the truth the best we know it at this moment.
At that time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it may be 40 miles off from true north. You see what? This is what God's trying to show me. Okay, Psalm 91, verses 4 and 5. He shall cover you over with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Remember the old saying, the man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. If you've experienced reality, people can tell you you're wrong all they want. I've had them do it. And you know what? I just walk away. I don't even take time to tell them. It's not worth wasting my energy on. Because if God has revealed truth to me, I'm going to walk in that truth. And what happens when I walk in that truth, everything that God tells me comes to pass. And I walk in power. And I walk in faith. I walk in the anointing. See, and maybe they have an education. And they say, well, I've studied that out. And you're absolutely wrong. And I say, thank you. And I walk away. Yeah. You can't convince them of anything different until God reveals truth to them. When I say that we really don't know truth, we'll get into this on the back side of the paper here a little bit later if we get to it, but how would your life differ if Jesus came and just walked right beside you for like 3 days? Listened to everything you had to say. Didn't make any comments. Just walked. Just there with you. What if truth was just right there with you? All of a sudden you think, I better alter that a little bit. You know. Maybe that testimony is a little exaggerated. Maybe I put a little bit too much of myself into it. Maybe, you know, yeah, and all of a sudden we're thinking about, oh my, I've got to straighten this up. Well, if you experience reality, that's one of the blessings of praying in tongues. Because tongues is a tangible evidence of reality, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a tangible evidence. I have reality. So all of this being true, we come down to Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 4. Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true, and let every man measure up to that. Let every man come up to that. As it is written, that you may be justified. We said one of the definitions of the Greek word that we translate true is just. Then we have to make corrections or justify, justified in your words, and may overcome when you are judged. Jesus is very plain in Matthew 7, verse 1. He said, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. We have a level. And we're looking at this guy. And we're saying, you are wrong. And we're standing here leaning like this. You know. And Jesus said, no, you've got to come back to truth. And there's only one who's true, and that's God. And everything then will be judged by God. Brother Powell preached a wonderful sermon on what every man will believe 5 minutes after he dies. For one thing, he'll know God's real. And he'll know that God is true and that God is just. He'll know there's a heaven. He'll know there's a hell. And he went on. He had a whole sermon. I won't go through the whole sermon. But God is justified then because he's the one that's true. Everything else has to line up. 2 Chronicles 6:17. And now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David. I love that. Because that means we're not there yet. truth is there. Truth is eternal. And God has spoken truth, but we haven't experienced all of it yet. Now, God, let it come true. Let it come true. And then every day, every morning when I get up, I'm so excited because something that God has said is going to come true. Hasn't come true yet. In other words, the kingdom is still coming on earth as it is in heaven. Everything's true in heaven. And God's words are true. And His words will never return void. But they will accomplish what He sent them for. So let your word come true. Oh, I don't know about you, but see, that's exciting for me. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. And here again, if you think of the law as just a bunch of writings that are arbitrary, then you're going to miss the whole point. But the whole universe operates in laws. If you stop eating, you will starve to death. That's a law. If you jump off of a cliff, you will hit the bottom and more than likely die. That's a law. Law of gravity, see? But there's other laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. So we find ourselves operating in the Word of God and actually being lifted above. Just like aerodynamics, you get in an airplane, it doesn't make gravity go away. Gravity is still true. But aerodynamics is greater than the law of gravity. And so here you're up 33,000 feet in the air, but if the engines stop, you still come down. Mm-hmm. And we're in Christ Jesus, and we're up here 33,000 feet and making headway. Okay? Ephesians 4:15, I put it there in two translations. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. So the more we operate in the realm of truth, speaking the truth in love, but as you'll find from the Amplified Bible, it's more than talking. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. There again, it's progressive. Always understand, it's progressive. See? For the people who say, I've had my experience, I'm on my way to heaven, and that's it, and that's true, but they're missing the joy of the ride. They're missing this wonderful thing of every day seeing truth, seeing reality, you know, watching God do stuff. God tells me things and then He does it. And He said, I won't do anything without revealing it to my servants, the prophets. That's me. Tell me what you're doing. Tell me what you're up to. And then tell me my part. I don't want to be doing someone else's part. I just want to do my part. But I want to be true to the calling. True to what you give me to do. If you try to do what somebody else is doing, you're not being true to your calling. It won't be real and you won't have power. Okay, Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Keep your mind set, see, on what is true. Keep looking for truth. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you. Doesn't say he will immediately show you all truth. He said he will guide you. That means as you walk, as you read, as you pray, every day he will guide you into reality. He will guide you into truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Luke 24, 44 and 45. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. We've all experienced that. Something you've read over and over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden it just breaks open. Why didn't I see that before? That's fun. I like that. 1 John 5:6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So here again, when I am praying in tongues, truth is actually running through my spirit, my soul, and my body. Truth is running through me. When I'm quoting scriptures or reading the scriptures out loud, truth is running through me. I want to keep truth running through me, but I don't want to have a preconceived notion of what that scripture is going to say. See, you can hear sermons and they will set you up to have a preconceived notion. Doctrines will do that. I think I shared with you when the Great Revival was taking place in Europe, and this one evangelist was traveling from country to country preaching, and he came into this one town, and all the church elders got together and challenged him. And they said, "These people believe this, and these people believe this, and you're going to have to tell us what you believe about this particular doctrine before we'll let you preach." And he said, "Well, give me the night and I'll tell you in the morning." And so he looked up every scripture during the night, got a little bit of sleep, went in the morning, and just read every scripture concerning that topic. And he said, "And that's what I believe." And they let him preach. But see, if you pick and choose, or if you have a preconceived notion as to what that scripture is going to say, then we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. If we have a preconceived notion of what that scripture is saying because someone has told us, that's, you have to believe this, look at this scripture, but what about this scripture and this scripture and this scripture? See, you have to look at all of them. And you have to look at them for exactly what they're saying. See, who's saying it, what's going on. And to just pull one out of context, anybody can do that, but they're deceivers and they deceive themselves.
Right.
See, my thing is, I don't want to be right. I want to be true. There's something in our fallen nature, I have to be right. And I will prove you wrong, which is sin. That's just the old rotten pride. And so we do get these preconceived notions, and we believe they're true, a lot of them, until we come into the truth. I had to totally, once I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit in 1966, I had to go back and totally reread my Bible. and things just started flying away. You know, doctors just, I thought, and I just let them go. Let go. Okay, Psalm 51:6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. Now, I understand when you first come to Christ and people say, you need to tell the truth. And that's okay. Or, you think about it a little bit. And you think, well, I used to say this, but I probably better say this. But as you mature, truth should be in your inward parts. Okay? It's like love. If you have to think about loving, it's too late. And if you have to think about telling the truth, it's too late. It should be, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Truth ought to just jump out of us. We shouldn't have to say, well, I want to say this, but I probably ought to say this. See, truth should be right there. Love should be right there. Readjust then is to line up with truth. We talked about that. Psalm 119:142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. If someone tells you that gravity won't kill you, don't listen to them. If they say jump off the cliff and it won't hurt you, don't listen to them. The law is truth, and the wages of sin is death. Okay, I didn't make a complete list here, but the things that are always against the truth, lies, and there's something that goes wrong inside of people. There are people, and they become liars, but they don't know they're lying. Okay, deception, here again. And if you know you're deceived, then you're not deceived. Deception is when you think you're right when you're wrong. Exaggeration. Preachers used to call it evangelistically speaking. Well, there was 5,000 people there. Exaggeration.
Yeah.
Fantasy. Fantasy is more subtle. It's those things that you drift off into. Thoughts of what could be or what could have been. A lot of times people don't know that they're drifting off into fantasy until maybe just something real shocking about it. Oh, yeah, I don't want that. But fantasy is, because you can fantasize ministry, for instance. Be realistic. Come back to reality. Come back to truth. And what God will show you is reach one. Reach one at a time. And then another one. Disciple that one, and that one will reach two or three more. And it'll just go out. That's the way the kingdom works. See, people ask, well, Wayne, what do you do exactly? Well, I travel around to small towns and sit in living rooms and teach people. That's like poor Wayne. But see, I do exactly what God tells me to do. And I'm fruitful. And I enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoy it. Embellishment is just making things look different than they are. Jokes among Christians. But how many, even in Christian circles? Well, I was just foofing, or I was just pulling your leg. No. It's still a lie. See? And it's not funny. It's a lie. But Christians think it's okay. But I've watched Christians kill Christians because they want to say something cutting to make a point, but they'll make it as a joke. It's still death. Unjust measure. And this takes on many forms. Jesse and I, we were out and really wasn't planning on going shopping except we needed some more kitty litter, and so we hopped into Walmart real quick and getting short on selenium. At least I thought we were. I said, well, let's go ahead and get some more because it doesn't get old, just to be sure. We got a watermelon and kitty litter. Well, the selenium had slid down underneath the kitty litter. And the lady said, don't take the kitty litter out. I can just reach over and scan it. So she scanned that. And I get out to the car, and I have three selenium. Because she totally missed it. And so I just pick up my selenium, go back in, go back through the line, pay for it, because that's truth. Why do that? Because my God is true. And I operate in truth. I operate in true measure. I don't want to be in unjust measure. Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure His indignation. The true God, the true God is going to show up, and everything will be judged by His presence. He won't have to say anything. Just His presence will judge everything. Now, if you're in this, this is one of the things where I was sitting out on the porch that God showed me. I'd never thought about it. But Acts 5:1-3. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to truth? See, the Holy Spirit is truth. We read that back a ways. To lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of the land for yourself. And I can just imagine Peter, for his daily devotions, had got up that morning and was reading Psalm 52:3-7. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. Selah. You love all devouring words. You deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. And Peter said, why would you lie to the Holy Spirit? And Ananias fell down dead. The wife came in and said, is this how much you sold the property for? Yes, it is. She fell down dead. Exactly the way Psalm 52 said it would happen. That's why I want to be true.
Yes.
I want to live. I want the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. I want all three. Psalm 51:4. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. That's what we need. That's the reason why I say, what if Jesus just came and spent 3 days with you? How would your conversation change? How would your words change? How would your life change? That you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge.